Psalm 106 and verse number 28, Numbers chapter 25 and Psalm 106. Let's go first to Psalm 106. I'm fired up this morning. This sermon might be called one of the, let me kind of label it. It's not the title. One of them drop the mic sermons. Or drop the hammer. Amen. We're getting ready for a revival. And by the way, if we ever going to have a collective revival, we need to have individual revival. Am I preaching? You'll never have collective revival until we have individual revival. So I'm preaching to everybody this morning. Psalm chapter 106, if you're there, say amen. This is a wonderful psalm. If you saw, I'm not going to give you all the background, but if you got the heading, it says God's mercy endured forever. How many believes that? He's a merciful God. He's an everlasting God. He's a wonderful God. And then it starts talking about every one of Israel's failures. By the way, the best we are, we fail. You know why we need revival? Because we fail. You know why we need a touch from God, as Brother Mike spoke in Sunday school? Because we fail. You know why we need a fresh touch starting this year? Is because we fail. Because we're in the flesh. And we're apt to fail. But I am glad that we can stand up. Let's look at Psalm 106, I want to introduce you to somebody. I'll talk about the remarkable story in chapter 25, and we'll go over there in a moment. But I want to talk, it was such a remarkable story. The psalmist spoke highly of it. And let's look at it in verse number 28. If you're there, say amen. Amen. They joined themselves also into Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague break in upon them. I want you to notice this phrase, because this is what I'm preaching this morning. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment. And so the plague was stayed, and that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. Thank God for a man named Phinehas. Now, would you go over to with me to Numbers 25, and I'm going to read a few verses here. To show you, this is the same story. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their God, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads, boy, this is straight, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay every one of his men that were joined unto Baal Peor, and behold, one of the children of Israel, notice this story, came and brought unto his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the congregation, the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, remember that name? The son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it. He arose up from the congregation and he took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so that the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the people spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel. And while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy, wherefore say, behold, I give unto him a covenant of peace, and he shall have it and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with a Midianish woman, was Zimri of the son of Salu, a prince chief of the house of the Simeonites, and the name of the Midianish woman that was slain was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur, and he was head over the people and of the chief house in Midian. Now let me give you a little bit of background quick. The background is this. If you go back three chapters, in chapter number 22, you hear a familiar story. The children of Israel was in the plains of Moab. Now, the Bible said in Deuteronomy 2:9, really, God didn't want them to be in those plains, because he gave that land to the children of Israel. Until Moab. He didn't want them there. But they were there. And by the way, the Moabites were scared of them. And while they were scared of them, they knew that their God fought for them. By the way, let me just plug this before I get very far. I got a God that will fight your battle. I got a God that's on the throne. Now, here's the problem. They knew they could not beat them. The Moabites and the Midians, they knew they couldn't do it. So here's what they done. They called a prophet, a false prophet, or one of those pretending preachers. Boy, we got a bunch of them in America. And some of them even in the independent Baptist camp. Oh, a good preacher, Reverend. And his name was Balaam. How many remember the story? And Balaam was brought before Balak. That was the king of the Moabites. And Balak said he brought him some bribes. By the way, it's a shame, but there's a lot of preacher in it just for the money and for bribes. And they go to the highest bidder. But I think there ought to be a group of preachers rise up today and say, I'm not for sale. I'm not selling out the Bible. I'm not selling out the gospel. I'm not selling out my church. I'm staying true to God. Somebody help me preach. And by the way, Peter called those wages of unrighteousness. And then here's what happens in the story. Balaam said, I want to go. And he said, I want you to come and curse Israel. And God told him no. Amen. You know the story? And then here's what happened. He said, well, he stayed up that night. And I'm going somewhere. Y'all stay with me. He stayed up that night and kept begging God. And God said no. Then God said, okay, you can go, but you can't curse them. You got to bless him. So he went. Y'all know the story. I'm starting to get some preach coming in me. Y'all better stay with me. I'm starting to get hot right here. You know the story. He starts down the road. He's on a donkey. Donkey had more sense than he did. He went down the road and the donkey saw the angel, but he didn't. He didn't. Donkey even had a conversation with him. It's a shame when a donkey's smarter than we are. Somebody help me preach. So I'm going somewhere if y'all just stay with me. I'm taking a long time getting there this morning. So he went up in the mountain. Balak said, curse him. He said, I can't curse him. Gave him some more money, then took him up to another high mountain, said, curse him. So here's what happened. He could not curse him. So here's what Balaam came up with. I won't curse him. But here's what I will do. And here's what you should do. Let's just yoke them up. And let them start sacrificing to your gods. And having physical relationship with your women. Somebody help me preach. Are y'all with me? By the way, that's just exactly how the devil wants to do it. Bad relationships always bad a result in bad religion. It doesn't matter. Hey, by the way, you need to watch out who you hook up with. Hey, some of you young ladies, you need to watch out who you hook up with. We don't preach that much today in our churches, but some folks need to watch out who they're hooking up with. We got Christians that hook up with sinners and act like sinners and drink with sinners and run with sinners and have more in common with sinners than they do with the church. God help us. And here's what will happen now. Now, remember now, judgment failed, Lois. 24,000 people died. And God said, go hang them up. How many believe that's a bad story? And you know what happened? The people of Israel, there wasn't no judgment on them, so they went before the tabernacle and they started weeping. I'm almost to my story. Y'all stay with me. And they started weeping and crying. And then here comes an Israelite. They're weeping. They're crying. They're crying to God. And by the way, if we ever have revival, it will start on Tuesday night prayer meetings when we get alone with God and cry out to God. And here's what happened. An Israelite named Zimri comes walking cockily right through the congregation where all them people were ripping, weeping. And then he had his girlfriend, a Midianite woman named Cozbi. You know what her name means? My lie. And I want to say this to you. We got too many Zimris and too many Cozbis in the church of the living God. Am I preaching? Y'all stay with me. I'm going somewhere. And this is kind of funny. I believe Phineas is kind of like some of you people. When prayer happens, you pray with one eye open. Because he saw that what was going on. And he broke out of his prayer. Saw where they went. They went into the tent. He followed them into a tent. He got him a javelin. Now, I'm not telling y'all to go out and get you a gun and shoot somebody. But I am telling you, some of us need to wake up. Some of us need to say, we need to take a stand. And he got a javelin. He walked into the tent and he put that javelin right down through Zimri. And it went down through into her belly. Ooh. How many believe that's a story? Boy, it's quiet in here. Y'all nervous? I'm not a bit nervous. By the way, we got too many of that kind of crowd in our church. And last time I checked, we are the people of God. The last time I checked, we are the blood-washed of God. The last time I checked, we are led by the Spirit of God. The last time I checked, we are governed by the Word of God. I know this world is crazy. I know that the whole world's went nuts into secularism and ungodliness, but we need a Phineas to stand up. We need a young couple in the church, in the couples class, to stand up for God. We need some young singles to stand up for God. We need some of you on Facebook to stand up for God when some of your lunatic friends say some of their ignorance on Facebook. Why don't you tell them how nutty they are?
Amen. Good preaching.
If you want to find a nut, open Facebook. Am I preaching? I tell you what we need. We need some volunteers this morning. I'm not asking you to volunteer to get a gun. No. I'm not asking you to volunteer and get a weapon. No. I'm saying I want you to volunteer, get your badge on this morning, and say, I'm going to stand for God. The Bible said when they were in the mess that they were in, he stood for God.
Amen.
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 I tell you what we need. We need some Phineases in the nursery. We need some Phineases at the dining room table with your children, instructing them before God. Amen. Hey, by the way, we need some Phineas teenagers in school, at the school lunch, witnessing for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Let me give you three things. I'll be done. I've done most of the preaching. Well, at least the introduction. How many's never heard this story? Raise your hand. Oh, the rest of you's lying, okay. What makes a person stand up like Phineas? I saw three things. Look with me in verse number 7. I see a remarkable perceptiveness. Look what the Bible said. And when Phineas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, what say, church? Saw it. And he rose up among the people, and he took a javelin in his hand. Number one, he saw the devastating effect of the plague. Would you not agree with me? America, this morning, is smitten with a plague. This nation, our country, is more sinful, more wicked, and I believe having the hand of God of judgment on us right now. Somebody help me preach. He had a discerning awareness, and there was a devastating effect. Look at verse number 3, and the disobedient actions. The Bible said, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. I tell you what we got. We got too many Christians that's joined themselves up with the world. Kind of yoking up. By the way, we had no business yoking up with the world. Because here's what's going to happen. You start yoking up, and the world's philosophy will come into the church, and it will be a disaster. You want to know why there's no power in our churches, no power in preaching, no power in singing across America? Because the world has infiltrated the church and the world's mindset and the world's philosophies, and we say nothing about it. Come on now. Then their defiant attitude. How many believes it's defiant when they're in there weeping and praying, and this dude comes with this midnight woman who he wasn't supposed to be with and brought her in to do foolishness? That's defiance. I know I'm right here, there'll be some of you get turned off, but I don't even give a flip this morning. We got a defiance from the top of the government all the way down to the people. I am sick and tired of every time I tune into some news conference or someone that a homosexual, a transgender. And you know what? You know why we have that kind of movement and those people are so popular today? You want to know why they're so popular today? Because some of you wouldn't take a stand and you wouldn't say, boo at the devil. We don't have prayer in school because of it. We have abortion on demand because of it. Because we kept our mouths shut and we say nothing and we had no influence. Somebody help me preach. And I'm not preaching politics right now. And if you're getting mad at me because you think I preach in politics, I'm not. But we're in trouble when we elevate perverts, when we elevate heathens to a place of power. We in trouble.
Yes, sir. Good preaching. Yeah. God help.
By the way, before some of you in some certain political party gets mad, it's in both of them. They're both messed up. You ain't gonna catch me saying it's one here and one there. No, the whole group is corrupt. Amen.
Amen.
Defiance. I'm gonna tell you, I've never seen so much defiance in my life. And it's creeped in our schools. Our children are defiant to their parents. Where do they learn that at? They're learning that in a corrupt society where we have lost our salt and lost our light and we don't have the victory. But Phineas said, hey, hey, I'm standing up.
Amen.
Am I preaching? Oh, I like it myself. Then I see a disappointed Almighty. I want you to know something. I don't want God mad at me. How many of y'all don't want God mad at you? Lord have mercy. I don't even mind you. There's some of y'all already mad at me because I'm watching you and you got your head down ready to pray. And you got a frown on your face because I mentioned this ungodly world we're in.
Amen. Preach on. That's good preaching.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Am I preaching? I tell you what we need. We need some Phineas and Phineasettes in our youth group. We need some Phineas and Phineasettes in the choir. Amen. We need some people that sing in the choir, live what they sing. I mean, y'all always trashing and throwing down preachers that don't live what they preach. But by the way, you ought to live what you preach. Amen. I just wonder, does the sin of 2023 bother you? Number two. Boy, I am going to get hot here. We seen these remarkable perception, but look at verse 7 and 8. Boy, this. I see his rejected passiveness. You know what's wrong with us? Passiveness has become an epidemic.
Yeah.
Well, preacher, what they're doing is none of my business. Well, I'm making it mine. The people's living like a devil, I'm going to make it my business. And I'm going to stand for God. I want a pure church. Hey, I want a big church. Yes, it's a big church. Might not be as big after this morning. But I want a big church. I want a flourishing church. A flourishing church. This is that. A soul-winning church. This is that. I want a missionary church. This is that. But I want more than that. I want a holy church. I want a church that's not passive. I think, so. Hey, I'm not telling you go out and blow up an abortion clinic. By the way, it's a good way to get thrown in jail. I'm not telling you pick up a gun, do some kind of violence, but I tell you what, you could take a stand for God. By the way, you got a weapon, and how many carried your weapon with you today? How many brought one of these this morning? Wave it at me if you brought one of these this morning. That's your weapon this morning. Not a gun, not a pistol, not a bomb. No, we got the dynamite of God right here. We got the inspired, inerrant word of God. It's piercing, it's powerful. Glory, I'm about ready to shout. Y'all still with me? I thought I might have lost somebody there. See, I tell you, here's what I call passiveness. I'm tired of people come up to me and say, Preacher Smith, Preacher Smith, would you, why don't you preach a sermon on this subject? But I want you to know I want to be anonymous. Well, the one I'm preaching this morning, Chad built it, and I'm preaching it for him this morning. I want to be anonymous. You know, it's time for us. We see sin in the camp. We see something not right. We need to speak up about it. Amen. Tired of being anonymous and passive. I'm 71 years old. How many of y'all think I'm getting along pretty good this morning? And I want you to know there ain't a passive bone in me this morning. I still hate sin. I love the sinner. I hate homosexuality, but I believe God loves the homosexual and it will save them. I hate this transgender movement. And many of them now are sorry that they've had the surgeries to try to do something, and now they're sorry about it. But listen to me, you better get your eyes open and not do something foolish. Because once you do, you can't turn back the clock. Amen. He had a reacting initiative. Amen. If we see nonsense, we ought to rise up. That's what he did. He had a resolute intensity. Man, I'm going to tell you what. He had a tactical pursuit and a thorough performance. I tell you what he done. He stopped sin. He put the javelin right down through him, right into Cosby. That's two crazy names, isn't it? Y'all won't ever forget that. You may forget the sermon, but you won't forget Cosby and Zimri. He put it right on him. He wasn't passive. See, I'll tell you what's happened to us and Christendom. We'd rather go to churches like around here a couple miles who has the smoke coming out of their pulpit area and their rock band and their pastor in his little tee with his real pretty golden necklace. You said you against them? No. If you give me one, I'll wear it under my shirt. And they put on a little show. We've had some of our kids go with their friends to certain places like that. And guess what? The young people that went kind of accidentally called their mom and dad and said, get me out of this place.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that.
And I think the young people's in this room this morning. And I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you, you shouldn't have went in the first place, but that's another question. Am I preaching? We've been passive too long. We want revival. If my people will call by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will heal their land and forgive their sin. His actions stopped the judgment of God. Lastly, and I'm done. Look at verse number 9, and I'll finish. I see a rewarded productiveness. First of all, he stopped death at 24,000. He had a definite commendation in verse number 12. Are y'all there? Here's what the Lord said. Wherefore, say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. Verse number 11, he said he was zealous for God. He pleased the Lord. Are you pleasing God? He was passionate. Now, let me ask. I don't want to ask some of you fuddy-duddies. I'll ask a few of you teenagers. Look at me. Voting time. Y'all think I'm still passionate for God? Come on now. All you teenagers think I still get passionate for God, raise your hand. Yeah, boy. They know. You might not believe it, but I am. We need some people passionate for God. And God blessed him. And then he prevented lost. Hey, by the way, it would have been a lot worse if it wasn't for him. See, I believe we still have revival. And we might only have it on a local sense, but we can prevent some loss in our community and loss in your neighborhood and loss in your family. And then God gave him a divine covenant in verse 13. It's a covenant of peace. I want to tell you something. This world is raging right now. But I want y'all to know I'm at peace. He had an enduring peace. And then this is awesome right here. You do know he was a grandson of Aaron. He had an everlasting priesthood. God made a covenant with him. He had an extended posterity. His family was going to be blessed. And years later, when rehearsing what happened in the children of Israel, his name was mentioned because he stood up. I wonder how many in this section. Is there any Phoenicians over here? Let me ask, any Phoenicians in here? Any Phoenicians here in the youth group? How about over here? Any Phoenicians here? I'll tell you a good way you could see if you're a Phoenician this morning. If you just say, you know what? I hate what's going on. I want to be a difference maker. And I think I'm going to find me an altar. And I think I'm going to pray. And I think I'll stand up for God. And I think I'll be a Phineas. And by the way, some of you, when I'm gone, you might not remember me. But I'm glad I got a God that never forgets. We need some Phineas as parents. Some Phineas teenagers. Kids. We need some people that say, I want to stand for God. Maybe you're here this morning and you're lost. It's time for you to stand up and get on God's side. Because here's what's going to happen. And I'm not trying to be scare you, but it's a fact. You are going to go down in judgment with the evil people. If you don't stand up and say, I want to be counted with the people of God, and I want to be saved. If you don't, you're going to be judged along with this world. Amen. Am I preaching?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Bow your head with me. Without me even getting a big, long invitation, I wonder how many people just start up here and say, I want to make a difference. I want to see revival. I want to be the right kind of parent. Stand with me. Just sit by your seat. Y'all just get up. That's right. My goodness, I'm tired of seeing my family going downhill. I'm tired of seeing stuff. My kids are bringing dope home and getting caught with dope. And oh, God, have mercy. Why wouldn't we flood the altars this morning? I wonder how many in this room said, preacher, I'm not saved. But I sure want to be on God's side. And I don't want judgment to fall on me. And I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? If you're not saved, just sip it up. Sip it up high. God bless you. Somebody else. Come on. I'm going to pray. The rest of you ought to come on around the altar. Feel the auditorium. If you're online, you got to find you a place to pray. Our Father, thank you for the liberty I felt this morning. I ask you, God, to touch our people. I ask you to help this morning. Help us, Lord, to stand up for Jesus. Take a stand in Jesus' name. Amen.